Good morning. As she stated, I'm Shamika Hamlin Palmer, and today we'll be talking about the development of Mississippi's first LGBT health center. And I would like to introduce our President and CEO, Dr. June Gibson, and our COO, Dr. DeMarc Hickson. Okay. So I currently have no relationship to disclose. First, I will give you background information, followed by our formative research, assessment, focus group, key informant interviews, and then I'll speak on Open Arms Healthcare Center. I'll talk about our opening, what makes us unique, and our successes. When it comes to health disparities, Mississippi always ranks in the top 10, but not in a positive way. So in 2010, Mississippi had the 7th highest rate for HIV infections. And in 2011, Mississippi reported 573 cases of HIV disease. And of those reported cases, 75% were among males, 76% were among African Americans, and 47% were among ages 25 to 44. And as we look at the exposure category for 2012 for Mississippians living with HIV disease, MSM leads in the cases with a total of over 3,800 reported cases for 2012. And the data reveals that MSMs and African Americans are at greatest risk and lead in the HIV infection rates in Mississippi. Therefore, formative research was done to get a better understanding of the needs of the MSM population in Mississippi. First, I will talk about the assessment done. Each year, MBK hosted Jackson Black Pride, and within those activities, we always have a health summit. And so for the years 2011 and 2012, we gave the assessment to the participants at the Health Summit just to gauge their knowledge or to see what was needed for that particular population. So we did a feasibility study, and some of the questions that were asked, how likely would you be willing to access healthcare at the LGBTI clinic? Where do you currently access healthcare, and how do you pay for healthcare? And so we had a total of 151 participants to complete the research. Of those 151 participants, 108 were MSM, 23 were transgender, and 20 were lesbians. So we asked the question, how likely would you be willing to assess healthcare? The majority of the people said that they would, so we had a total of 104. And somewhat likely, 34, somewhat unlikely, 10, and a small number, unlikely. So it shows a need there. Where do you currently access healthcare? The majority of the people currently go to community health clinics. You have some that see private physicians, 17 emergency rooms, 21 health department, and a small number for alternative providers. How do you currently pay for health care? Majority of the participants receive Medicaid, and followed by Medicare, and then private insurance, family, private, and other pay. So to continue to gain information, we did focus groups. And some of the questions that were asked, what are some of the medical resources and services do you think should be provided at the clinic? Where would your ideal clinic be located? What should be the name and the look of the clinic? And what are the best times to open the clinic? And so, to talk about the medical resources and services needed, most of them said that they wanted more STD screenings, more TB screenings, more HIV testing, and they wanted OBGYN services that were catered towards them. And also, they wanted more just overall primary health care. The next thing we looked at was the counseling services that they said that they needed. They wanted more mental health services available to help deal with some of the things and the issues that they was going through. They wanted more medical counseling to help them deal with their ailment. And they wanted a referral network in place so that if it was some services that wasn't available, we had someone there that we can call and set up an appointment, go ahead and get them linked to care. And also, they wanted someone there that understood the transgenders. So, you know, they having issues, but they have no one to go to. So they just wanted more counseling services. Education. They wanted more literacy classes, skill building classes. They wanted more community outreach, education. They wanted support groups that was available for them. And also, they wanted a place that they can go and try to find a job because you, a lot of them may be currently unemployed, but don't feel comfortable with going to other places looking for a job because of the way, you know, people may look at them because of the way they're dressed. So they just wanted places that they'll feel comfortable with going. And ancillary services, they wanted more dental and more vision places to go for services. The next thing, clinic location. Transportation is always an issue. So they wanted a place that was easily accessible through public transportation and a place that everyone, a central place where the population will feel comfortable with going. And that also falls up under the safety. They wanted somewhere that they'll feel more at ease and they don't mind coming. You know, a lot of people being able to see, you know, them and staring and all that type of stuff. So they just wanted a place where they'll feel safe and comfortable. And also the features of the clinic. What should be the name of the clinic? So they gave us a couple of suggestions. Open Arms, which you'll see that we use, and Gifted Hands, Center for Alternative Love. And what should your clinic look like? They wanted a private setting. They wanted it neat, clean, vibrant colors, and also a place that they can feel comfortable, relaxed, just feel at ease. And what are some of the best times to open the clinic? They wanted more unconventional hours where they could come after work or on a Saturday. That's what we kind of figured that they needed. And when we did the key informant interviews, the questions asked, what are some barriers to accessing medical services in Mississippi? So we really wanted to find out why they wasn't going in getting the health services needed. So a lack of confidentiality. They felt that their information would be disclosed, so they didn't feel comfortable with going to some of the health clinics that were currently available for anyone, not just for that particular population. A lot of them just didn't have insurance, nor did they have the money to pay to go in for healthcare services. Wait time, extended wait time. You go into the clinic, you're there the majority of the day. And lack of cultural competency about their particular community. A lot of people do not have the knowledge and the understanding to deal with the issues that they're currently going through. What strategies for medical services work best for the community? They wanted an increased confidentiality and trust factor. They wanted to go somewhere that they felt no one would disclose their information. They wanted more health prevention. They wanted a place to go where they can sit down and talk about the issue, see what best practices work for them. They wanted it more individualized than just for the entire LGBT population. So, after gathering all of this pertinent information, MBK was able to open Mississippi's first LGBTI healthcare center, which we named it the Open Arms Healthcare Center. We opened our doors on National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day of this year, February the 7th, and the mission of Open Arms is to provide innovative, holistic primary healthcare services, which is inclusive of preventive, clinical, and mental health services to underserved, underinsured and underrepresented populations in Mississippi and beyond, with emphasis on the LGBTI population. And please understand that the clinic does not just serve this particular population, but it's open to anyone that wants to receive health services. But please be mindful that we cater to this particular population. And here are some pictures of us getting ready for our grand opening on that day. So the staff out, we had cute shirts that said we're open and our name on the back. And this is our sign, the revealing of the Open Arms Healthcare Center. And here are some familiar faces you may recognize. We had representative from Fenway, the CDC, and of course our medical director, which is Dr. Mina, and our president CEO, Dr. Gibson. And here's a picture of our waiting room. We took into consideration the information that they had given us. They wanted it comfortable, vibrant colors, and a place where they'll feel at ease. So they come in and actually sit down, and they feel at ease. It's a comfortable setting. I find myself sometime up in there sitting down. So, you know, and we have other services while they're waiting. We have services available for them to go and actually look up information. So if they are waiting to see the physician, they can go and look for jobs or just talk to someone about some issues that they're dealing with. Okay. Let me get to some more important information. I saw the sign. I saw the sign. And so what makes us unique? We are the first clinic that actually provides prevention and clinical services in combination. So when they come into our clinic, we identify some of the medical services that are needed. And so once we figure out, you know, from the medical services, we are able to link them to prevention. So we have CLA, which is African American. I'm sorry, I see a couple of people nodding their heads. So it's an intervention for African American girls 14 to 18 who are sexually active. We have D-UP, and that's an MSM project. And we have 3MV. And we do have support group for transgender and for HIV positive women and men. And we have programs, Becoming a Healthier You. We have mental health services, so we took into consideration the need that they said that they had. Transportation, if you're not able to come to your appointment, when you call in, the only thing you have to do is let the front desk know, and we will set up transportation to come and pick you up. We have a food and clothing pantry because, you know, a lot of the people within that particular population are pretty much struggling. So we try to provide services that would help them. We have a referral network set up. So like I said, if it's services that we don't currently provide, we have a network of people that we can pick up the telephone right then and call and link them to services right then. We have unconventional hours. So even though we're open from 8 to 5, if we have a couple of our clients that need to come in after hours, we make that available for them. Also, we're open on Saturdays, every Saturday from 8 until 1. We have healthcare providers there available. So you have a lot of people that have jobs from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and they're available on Saturday, but it's no facility open. And so we do have transgender healthcare services. Like I said, we had support group, and they are in need of someone there that can actually talk to them and help them deal with issues. And then they have that support group of other people that they felt that maybe were not out there and dealing with the same issues that they're dealing with. We have PrEP and PEP. And also some of our successes. We have positive report with the community. Everybody knows MVK. We go out to do outreach at the clubs weekly, weekends, Sundays, whenever is available. We're out there every week doing outreach. You know, and the people within that particular population and also within the heterosexual population, they really trust us. We have other organizations that calls us to come in to actually talk to some of their people about different issues. They feel that we're able to provide those services to them. They look at us as role models within the LGBTI population. So a lot of the MSM that works on those projects, they have positive rapport with those transgenders, the other MSM that are having problems with coming out. So they come in and they actually talk with us about those things. And like I said, we're consistently visible within the community. We're out doing HIV testing at area colleges, universities. We're in the parks doing it. So we're everywhere. We provide over 200 patients with primary health care and mental health services. And we have an established electronic health record system. And we do participate in the Meaningful Use Incentive Program. And so here is my contact information. And to put this out here, we do accept donations. So you can actually visit our website. The amount doesn't matter. Any little bit helps because the clinic is not funded. It actually just goes on what Dr. Gibson can come up with. So we're actually out. If you feel that the services that we provide, you know, is something that you feel comfortable with donating to us, go ahead and go and give us some of the money. Thank you, and I'll be available for questioning afterwards.